First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 10th, 2017. Know Jesus Praise.
Would you all please rise this morning, and we'll be reading the Lord's Prayer according to Luke 11, verses 2 through 4. So he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Thank you. You may be seated.
As we've been going through Luke, we've seen that Luke is a letter written to instruct Theophilus, whoever that was, probably a wealthy person. It was not uncommon for a wealthy person to want to study a subject, hire someone to be the representative, go out and study, have a book written, given to them as a gift, and a presentation made at a formal event. So it's very likely when Luke was done writing Luke, he came and there was some event for Theophilus' immediate friends and family where Luke gave him his writing, and then he explained and talked about it and talked to him about Jesus. Luke is a follower of Christ. Very likely, we think Theophilus came to a saving knowledge of Jesus because Acts then continues the story as he very likely sent him out for a second time, tell us now what's happened as the gospel has gone on. There are some words that are more important to you than other words. If you're driving down the street, you may see different street signs, stoplights, numbers on signs, talking about speed. If you're in Redmond, I haven't gone down Cleveland Street yet since the new change. So there's things you have to pay attention to. Some words are important. Some words are more important to you. More important words to you might be if someone were to yell, "Stop!" or try to get your attention so you would do something foolish. Other words that are important to you are words that are important to you because someone says them to you because they care about you. For example, if your boss were to come up to you during the day and say, "Hey, I just wanted you to know that I notice what you're doing, and I appreciate it. And you're a leader here, and I appreciate the example that you're giving to everyone else. Why don't you come into my office later, and we'll talk about some way that I can recognize you." Right? Suppose you're kind of sitting and you're thinking about all the different people around, and there's nobody else that lives at your house but you. And you begin to reflect on perhaps boy or girl that has your attention, and they start giving you kind words. Those words have some meaning to you and might get attention because you're looking for that magic word, love, to come out, aren't you? Wanna have somebody that I can love. Someone of my very own, and they love me back. So I prepped you for this. Here's some words I received in the 1980s from different females talking to me about possibility of long-term relationships. Now, none of these came to fruition. Humorously, a lot of them I still talk to. But here is a letter I received in July of 1987. Aren't those nice words? Aren't those nice words? Say yes.
Yes.
And those were, I moved them to this box. I have these simply. But here's those nice, see the letter has, there's the tear. I took this picture with my camera today. Here's that letter. And look, it's continued on the back side. So, how does this match up with our Bible? I'll explain it to you. Because I want you to think perhaps of the Lord's Prayer in a different way. Because I think sometimes we miss the importance and the impact that I think might even be specifically intended to be there. We've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. We've been preaching through this book. We've reached Luke 11 now. And in recent sections of this book, Luke has been putting together these things. Also, remember, some of Luke is chronological.
Luke is different from some of the other Gospels is because he tends to arrange themes in a general chronological way, but by theme. He's more thematic than he is chronological. The majority of his book, remember from chapter 9, verse 51 to the end, is in the last year, almost 9 months of Jesus' life before he ascended. That's how Luke refers to it, not that he died, but that he ascended. And these themes are here, and I think these do all belong together. As he's been speaking, he's recorded the incidents where Jesus talked to someone about loving their neighbor, listening to God's words, Mary and Martha, and then praying. I think all these things intentionally belong together. From your Bible, Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus, in other words, has just had his devotions. Jesus has been sitting and I don't know what he was doing. But Jesus was communing with his Father. What I have there is a screenshot from today. On my phone, I have a little app, and in that app is a collection of Bible readings based on theme, one in the morning and one for the evening. I tend to do them together because it's more convenient for me to do it that way. But it's good to somehow plan a time in your day to reflect about God. Because if we're supposed to, we talked about this in our Sunday school group this morning. If you're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God, how can you grow in the knowledge of God if you don't read about Him? Right? If you don't read God's words, how can you grow in knowledge? If you don't put God's words to the test with your life and live by faith and follow and obey Him and do the things that He says to, how can you know what it's like, to live by faith? How can you know what it's like to obey? How can you know what it's like to have to rely on God's special help for some of these extra things that He's trying to do in our lives if you don't put them into practice? So whatever had happened when Jesus had had His, and devotions isn't the right word, His time with God. I like to look at it that way more because devotions is a word I don't really know what the point of that is. Whoever this unnamed, this disciple is not named. This disciple sees Jesus and he was moved, thinking, wow, his time with God was better than my time with God. But especially struck him was how Jesus prayed. And that means that when Jesus was praying, was he praying silently? In this case, Jesus would have been praying audibly, talking aloud. Nothing wrong with that. Jesus is praying to his Father, talking to him out loud. So this disciple, whoever this person is, heard Jesus pray. And when he heard Jesus pray, he was moved and thought, I want to pray like this. 500 years ago, there was a contemporary phenomenon. Matter of fact, it was in 1522. Martin Luther was known as a man who was leading a church-wide, group-wide movement to get closer to God. And like everybody else, Martin Luther would go to his barber. Back then, barbers were like going to the EMT. Because if you were a barber, you'd also do minor outpatient surgery. I'm glad I don't go to my barber for that, and I don't go to my doctor for a trim either. But back then, the barber, he would take care of all kinds of little things you would need to as an individual. Can you help me with this? And so Martin Luther, when he went to his barber for a trim, his barber said, Dr. Martin, can you teach me how to read my Bible and pray? And if you look hard on the internet, you can find a little pamphlet either to read online or to purchase. Martin Luther's words to his barber. So wanting to know how to pray and how do I get closer to God is something that people have been seeking forever. What did Jesus say that struck this person's attention? This is the point. We don't know. This is what we wish we could have. We don't know how Jesus communed with his Father in such a close and connected way that this man was struck. Maybe that's just as good. As Jesus is praying, Jesus is expressing this thought. And that is, Jesus loved his Father. I can't stress that enough. This is, I think, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, this is what strikes me. Some people pick up on this, not that many, but this is how I pick up on it. This is why I'm saying it to you. This is why I started the way I did.
Because if you love someone, you've got to talk in a certain way to them, aren't they? Sometimes when you love someone, they've had a bad day, they've made a mistake, they're discouraged, and they might think, why do you even like me? Nobody else likes me. And you want to say, well, because I love you. Everything's okay. I love you. We'll make it. It'll be all right. And those kinds of words make a difference. Because remember, lately I've been talking about love. What is love? Love is putting somebody else first. Putting somebody else first is loving them. If you love them, you're going to put them first. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, put his Father first. Jesus loved him. Imagine being Jesus the Christ on the earth, walking around doing the things that we do, and remembering what it was like to be in heaven with the Father and having myriad is the concept of thousands, of angels praising you because you deserved it. It's appropriate for God to hear praise. Jesus and the Father are now listening to each other. They're reflecting. Jesus is going to do what his Father wishes. Remember, at great personal cost, Jesus was not a masochist. Some people improperly write about Jesus when we look at the Gospels. And Jesus expressed that he knew what was going to happen and personally did not look forward to it, but he knew why he had come to the earth, and he said, not what I will, but thy will be done. And so when I look at the Lord's Prayer, and this is the guidance for today, sometimes when I look at prayer, I'm not sure what to say, how to express it. I don't know how prayer works other than God says it does and says that it's part of my commitment to him and part of my relationship with him is to talk. To me, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, because that's what this is instruction. We don't know what Jesus prayed, but we know that when this unnamed disciple come up and said, Jesus, you talk to your Father a whole lot better than I do. How can I talk to the Father in such a way that he sees that I love him too, that I want to listen to him? The Lord's Prayer is essentially a declaration of Jesus' love to his Father as he demonstrates he puts his Father first. And that's the way I look at some of these recorded prayers in the Bible from Jesus. That is what he is doing. Jesus did put his Father first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. We had something come up like that in Luke chapter 10, but that is a familiar quote found in our Gospels. Jesus loved his Father, his God. So this unnamed disciple comes to Jesus and says, teach us to pray. Now I'm going to make an observation. I think this is the way to look at it, but I don't know, maybe I'm not as concrete as some people are about things they say. I have things I definitely believe, but this is what I think. If you look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and Luke and such, there's a variety in how it's recorded, isn't it? Okay. Now, each of the gospel writers was moved by God the Holy Spirit to write things for our benefit, for our encouragement. But I do not think that Jesus' intention was to demand that we pray this same prayer exactly with these same words every time. Because there are times in the Bible where Jesus, other Bibles will decry what seems to be rote repetition, rote meaning. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, give us this day. That is not the point of this. That is not the point of this prayer. Jesus is instructing how to pray, and we're going to look at six things that I believe are in this prayer that we should be covering. Years ago, How to Pray. I really got fixated on that years ago, and I bought those books, you know, Acts, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, ACTS, Four Fingers. I really got into that for a while. But what did Jesus have to say? So this is a model prayer. It is a pattern for our, again, devotions. I don't know what better word to use. Probably time with God is what I should think of. But here are the six parts that I believe are in the Lord's Prayer. That's what I think. We have Father. Now again, the prayers are slightly different from each other. I'm mostly looking at Matthew and Luke. My Bible translation says, Our Father in heaven. The original language of the Bible I have here for this passage only has the word Father. The other words are there to kind of make it similar to the Matthew prayer, but here Jesus Father. That's how he started. But when we begin to pray, what do we focus in? We focus on the person of Jesus and who he is connected with, Father. We should start prayer humbly and cheerfully since God is our Father. Sometimes you've done something wrong, you don't want to tell your parents, you want them to discover it later. I've known more than one young person, teenager, who knew they were supposed to bring their dishes from their room to the kitchen but forgot and didn't want to walk out with them after they had said that, oh, I've already put my dishes away. So after a while, the parents, when the child is gone, would walk around the room and smell a smell and find dirty dishes under the bed or in the drawers. I knew people who put their dirty dishes in the drawers thinking that no one would smell them after enough time because they were afraid to approach their parents. We do not have to be afraid to approach our parents. Notice that this prayer is addressed primarily. This prayer is addressed primarily to people who already have come to the Father through Jesus Christ. So that is the focus of what we're looking at here. If you know God through the Son and the Holy Spirit has placed you in the body of Christ, then you should not be afraid or ashamed to come to your Father. He knows what you're like. He knows what you've done already. He wants us to talk to him about it. Remember the garden? Where are you? We're hiding ourselves. Well, are they going to hide from God? We don't either. Hallowed be thy name. This believer praying, and in this case out loud, calls on everyone to share this experience and exalt our glorious God. If we're together with each other, God, you are holy. And there's lots of hymns in our hymn book with this concept, yes? Holy, holy, holy. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 94, Psalm 95, here 34. This phrase appears many times in the Psalms. Somehow we're calling on other people. When we pray, we have a great God. Let's remind ourselves we have a great God. Because sometimes we don't pray because we're intimidated, we're afraid, we've tried other things, or we're afraid God is not going to listen, God's not paying attention. We know the things we've done that are wrong. God, how can you like me? And just like we talk about, how can you like me? Look at what I've done. So sometimes we approach God the same way. Your kingdom come. God, I want your rule to be established more and more. Lots of times we say, I wish more people did what God wanted. So that starts with me. I need to do more of what God wants. Okay. I posted an internet meme that has had a lot of reactions to it on my Facebook account. And the picture was, I don't remember God talking to me about what Joel Osteen might have done or not done. I know that God has talked to me about what I should have done. So this is the first thing is, God, what am I doing for your rule? What am I doing to reflect that you are my master? God, we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, where you are, and your awe overshadows all present there. How am I showing God's control over my life and that it means something to me and that I wish other people would join me in making God's rule be felt? Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, you know what? We are in constant need. I don't care how big your house is or how much your income is. You and I are in constant need. And this section of the prayer reminds us, God, where would I be without you? Now, Sunday nights, we're looking at the book of Job. Man who is blessed and whose life was put in a vice. And he responded pretty well. That's why we speak about the patience of Job. And God blessed him. But remember, in Job's life, I don't think there's any hint in the book of Job that he ever knew what was going on. We read those first two chapters. But I don't think Job ever knew what was going on in those first two chapters. I don't think he wrote the book about his life. I think somebody else did. So Job went through all these experiences and God never told him why. And can I tell you, God may never tell you why. And Job's friends get in trouble because they are sure they are speaking for God and telling Job why he has the problems he does. Can I tell you, I don't think that's a good piece of advice for us. Why is somebody having these problems? Well, let me tell you why. That generally tends to lead to pride and gossip when we talk that way, amen? So we should not be talking that way. For us, we know we're in constant need. God, give me what I need for today. Give me what I need. You can use bread generically to refer to whatever sustains us. And notice, our bread. It's okay to pray for the things that you need. You're not selfish if you want to stay alive. You're not selfish if you have things that you have to have. Notice, forgive us our sins. Now remember, this is a model prayer that Jesus would not have prayed this for himself. Why? We had a sinless Savior. But Jesus, help me to talk to the Father like you do. Help me to get close like you are to the Father. And somewhere along the line, when we talk to God, we have to talk about our sins. Confess. David recognized that when he said that confession opens the door for renewal. So if you want to get close to God, you're going to talk to him about our sins, because we do these kinds of things and we need to take care of these kinds of things. God's pardon and grace comes from Christ's merits applied to us. Remember, this is someone who is coming to the Father through the Son. And this is how Christ's righteousness becomes ours. And notice, Jesus goes out of his way to include this component when the Lord's Prayer is recorded. Forgive us in the same manner that we forgive other people. Ouch. There's a famous quote of a man who said, "I never forgive anyone." And the proper response from the crowd was, "Then I certainly hope you never make any mistakes." An unforgiving heart is not in a condition that can accept forgiveness itself. Finally, sixth component, do not lead us into temptation. I'm putting a lot of words here to try and just give you this moment of clarity as I see it. If it is your will, talking to God, and we pray for this condition, God, keep us out of trouble, do not permit us, weak as we are and prone to sin. Don't take it wrong. Everyone in this room is a sinful person, including me. Amen. God, we are this way. Please, don't expose us to temptation. There's some things that are going to happen in the normal course of life, but don't put us in a situation. Whatever your will is for us, deliver us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Your Bible translations go out of their way not to capitalize when it talks about Satan, unless they list his name. Remember, Satan, we don't know what this individual's name was. Remember, Satan is an adjective, the accuser, describing who it is. Whenever the devil is talked about in the Bible, we never know the name he was given. We know some names of angels. We know Gabriel, we know Michael. I think those are the only two we really know. And whatever this individual's name, we don't know, because the Bible only refers to him in a description. He accuses us. He causes problems. God, keep this one out of my life. For us, prayer comes from the heart. Caring for our heart then helps us pray. When you look at the things that we've discussed in the Lord's Prayer, God, you are my Father. Coming to him, asking for the basic things of life, telling him, God, I need you to forgive me. I'm aware I'm a sinful person. I'm aware that I have conflicts with other people. Help me in general to be a forgiving person. Help me to be someone who doesn't get myself into situations where I have to put you to the test. All these things reflect on our hearts. And so, if I want to love God, I need to keep my heart close to him. All prayer should have as their ultimate aim God's glory. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, help us to honor and glorify you. Help your name to be lifted up and shown to be correct. Remember that I've said that the Greek word for glory is connected to the word for opinion. So when I glorify God, I'm sure that his opinion on life is correct, because I take his advice and not listen to other voices. And again, this is a quote you'll hear me say with some regularity, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. What do you think about God? And this prayer, this model prayer, is designed for us to be thinking about God. Loving God, then, must be paramount. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And we get hung up on the neighbor part, because why should I be helpful to people? Why should I put myself out for somebody else? And the first part was love God. Because remember when the young man, the young scribe, came to Jesus and asked him about that, and when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus balanced those two points. Love God and love your neighbor. And the guy was sure that he didn't cause any problems for God. He's sure he obeyed God all the time. He just wasn't sure if he got along with people like he should. So the first thing is to realize is that we always need to love God, and we can always love God better. But loving God must be paramount in this. This is my closing illustration now as we move on. There's a story told of something that sounds like it came out of a media presentation, but this is true. There was a man who was driving on a city street on his scooter. As he was traveling along on his scooter, suddenly the road in front of him crumbled as he was approaching it. I don't have the details of what caused it, but there was some sinkhole that had existed under the road, under the pavement, and just before this man reached it, the pavement itself broke down and revealed a large, giant hole. This took place in, I don't know if I'll pronounce this right, Bahai, China. The scooter rider then got to experience the sinkhole up close and personal. National Public Radio, NPR, covered this story, saying that when he did arrive at the fresh abyss, he appears to have been staring at his cell phone as he was driving. Okay. Soon, he was taken by surprise and staring at the inside of the collapsed road. The bad news is, I told you, we don't know what's going on. The officials there in the local city don't know what caused the sinkhole or why the road has collapsed. So they're still working on that. This is a recent story. The good news, the man was very resilient. He went in the hole, scooter banged up, dropped his phone, but he was able to climb out of the hole on his own power, unharmed. Wow, good for him. Reason to be thankful. For us, life has many pitfalls, and sometimes they are unexpected. You can always look at yourself and think, well, I should have thought of that. Or I should have prepared for that. You know, things happen. Can I tell you that? Things happen. That's the story of life. Many sizes and many forms of problems and surprises can come up for us. 1 Peter 5:9, Peter says, resist Satan. Stand firm in the flesh. He will leave you. One of the greatest ways that we can stand firm is not to believe the words, the lies, the concerns that we hear from the world around us, and to focus on listening to God's voice. Jesus, who is in the midst of all these issues going all around him, was able to stay focused on his Father. Well, he was the Son of God. You know what? He was fully man and fully human. The perfect Adam, the only real Adam that ever existed in this world, was him. You and I, as we reflect on God, what he has done for us, need to make sure that we're scheduling some moments to show God that we put him first. And since we're not perfect at that, when we pray, we take that into consideration. But God still wants you to pray. God does not play games with us. God wants us to talk to him as our Father. God wants us to come to him. And what we're about to do, as we observe the Lord's table, Jesus has expected us to do. Jesus wants us to come and remember what he did for us, that he loves us and he gave himself for us. The Lord's table is that Christ died for us. We're going to read that passage of Scripture as we go through this. But prayer and remembering the death of Christ and trying to focus on him is something that should give us pause on occasion. And as the weatherman was overcome with awe, it should strike you that the creator of the universe loved us enough that he gave his life for us on the cross so that we could be in heaven with his Father and him. And that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, and he's a brother to us. He told his disciples, I call you friends. So you have a great and powerful friend. Our mistakes are either take that too casually, and we're too casual with Jesus, or we're too afraid of him and think, what should I do? You and I, when we have contact with God, communion with God, need to focus it on what Jesus has done for us. And then the Lord's Prayer, I think, steps and goes through things that we should be reflecting on when we talk to God. God, you're great. God, you're holy. I know you're there. I know things are better if you're in control. But God, I know I'm not in your complete control. Forgive my sins. Help me to be involved with other people. Help me to lift up your name. Help me to do all these kinds of things. Because my life will be better, I'll be closer to you, I'll feel your presence, and I'll make a greater difference for you in this world. Because that's what we're here for. We're here as Jesus' followers.